Sports Day for Kia.
The all-new Kia Sorento has landed.
Lumo Energy SA.
Energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA.
And OTR.
With the OTR app, every fifth C coffee is free.
Hey, good evening, Malcolm Blight and David Wilde, Sports Day SA. If you want to give us a call, 822-3000. Love to hear from you on any sporting topic. Grand final not far away. Can't wait for that. Two wonderful teams. A hot topic for car sales. Number one for cars. A car sells every 30 seconds on car sales. As I welcome the man that's heading up to sunny Queensland tomorrow to present the Jock McHale medal on the grand final day. Will it be Damien Hardwick? Will it be Chris Scott? Well, we'll find out in a couple of days. Blighty, how are you?
Good, thanks, David. Yeah, no, looking forward to Patsy and I going to hop on the plane in the morning and off we go. And, going to go and watch a grand final in Brisbane town. Amazing.
I want to pick your brain because you've been there as a player and as a coach. And how are the players? We're a couple of nights out. How will the players be feeling now? And also take us through the coach's eyes. So you've been as a player. You've seen the players. A few nerves, no doubt at all. And also from your point of view as a coach.
Yeah, I guess this year is going to be different with the hub. But I'll guarantee, you know, some have their wives and kids up there with them, so not quite sure the percentage of that. But what they'll actually do is try and be normal as they can. It'll be when the team comes together. Like tomorrow morning, or, you know, the next couple of mornings when they wake up, they'll do their own stuff, they'll do their training, and then eventually, either on Thursday, tonight, or Friday, the two coaches will pull them in and then they'll talk about their tactics, who's in the team, who's out of the team. And then when you on the Saturday prior to the game, I'm sure they'll meet somewhere.
For breakfast?
Breakfast, maybe brunch, you know, because of the afternoon-evening game. And that's when you'll just reaffirm what's actually happening. And I'd love to tell you a little story. And back in 97, we stayed in Melbourne. Obviously, the grand final was in Melbourne. And on the Saturday morning, you know, for a team meeting, the breakfast, before the team meeting, before
day
of the game, I've gone down for breakfast and I've walked in there, mate, it was like a morgue. Although I was, you know, a little bit later and everyone was just sitting there. It was fair income, as I said, walking into a morgue, not one peep from anybody.
There's Andrew McLeod and co.
Everybody. Anyhow, and Andrew tells him in his book, he wrote a book, obviously, about his time in football. And I read it recently, actually, and it just said, I just walked into the room and I looked around and I could, it was just like, you could cut the knife.
In sense.
And I just said, hey boys, you're allowed to act normal. You can actually talk to your teammate and your blokes on the table. Talk about what you watched on TV last night. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. But for goodness sake, don't go back and withdraw into yourself. That's not what you do. Be as normal as you can. Well, gradually the chatter got up and, you know, and the whole room started to relax a bit.
Do you think they were confident, the boys? I mean, St Kilda favourite for that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Miles favourite. Oh, no, I don't think any. We were there. I mean, everyone knew that. And I think our best, everyone knew, was pretty good. And we knew that we could last out games. We had a lot of come-from-behind victories.
So how did you ease their fears? Because you've won grand finals as a player and you've also taken Geelong into three grand finals.
Yeah.
So how did you try and allay their fears and treat as much as normality as you can?
Yeah, well, that's true. But, I mean, you also lost some too. I mean, and I played in losing ones too. So it's not a perfect system. But I do know if you try and act to be someone else you're not, that won't work.
Mm.
Now, okay, you might get beat because the other team's better. And guess what? That happens. You can get beaten by a better team. You know, sometimes that happens. But I just think what you do is you try and take it all in. And what you should have been doing for the whole year is actually practicing for this, you know, so you actually get your little system. And trouble is, grand final work week is abnormal. Normally it's a parade. Normally there's a whole lot of people around. But this is an abnormal year anyhow. So it's different for everybody in the hub.
What was the final when you said to the players, hey, you won't believe this, we're lucky. We're so lucky. These are my lucky change rooms.
Yeah.
And that I've won here.
Yeah, we did.
You told him that?
Yeah, I did.
But you didn't tell him something else?
Well, no, but I had been
involved.
You won
in both.
Yeah, we were in the Melbourne, you know, in the old days, it was the Melbourne rooms.
Is that what you said? Hey, how is an omen?
Yeah,
how lucky are we?
Yeah, I know, and that's true. But I did, and we had. So yeah. That wasn't actually telling a lie. So someone said that, oh, that was really good. I mean, it's a lucky room.
Is it harder on the day as a coach or as a player? What's more taxing? What goes through your mind? Bearing in mind, in 97, you hadn't won. You'd been there three times.
Yeah.
Hadn't won a grand final.
Yeah.
And great coaching, but hadn't quite got there. So for you, the pressure no doubt building up. But tell us about the difference between being a coach and as a player.
Yeah, I think it probably simply put, playing, it's your energy. You've got your role you want to play. You don't try and think of taking hangers. Just try and think of doing some basic stuff. Try and keep a lot of the joy out of it.
Were you a nervous sort of player?
Yeah, I always had a few nerves, but never hopefully too nervous. But certainly...
Were you superstitious?
Probably ran out last every time. I did wear 13 for a while, you know, and all that sort of stuff. So I had my little quirky bits. I'd always put my left boot on first, and that was really because you're right-handed, so it's easy to get... Anyhow, so you do all that sort of stuff, yes, and you wear the same jocks all year, and hopefully you wash them.
Yeah, same meal before a game or not?
Generally speaking...
Pasta, a lot of guys have pasta.
Yeah, we used to have steaks and all that stuff, and then we moved on to pasta. Yeah, that's true too. So you generally had the same sort of stuff. And then, I mean... Looking after yourself was, it's not easy getting a kick. You know, the other team are there because they're a good team and they've got a lot of good players. So,
and they'd be just as nervous as you.
Exactly.
That's what you're not, you forget about that.
Yeah. But there's absolutely one thing you need to do is have a composed mind. There is no doubt, David, the biggest weapon you can have on grand final day as a player is have composure of the mind. Everything else just flows from there.
Had you seen the difference in temperament and character of player A to player B?
Oh,
some are just shaking, some are quite cool.
Yeah, and generally this every game, someone's noisy, someone sits in a corner quiet, someone will just mosey around, someone will just play with the ball, someone will just do something. Providing you did the same thing as what you did throughout the year, the noisy ones should still be noisy and everyone else should still do what they do. Compared to coaching, though, you worry about... I mean, you do worry about everything because you've got 22 blokes you actually want to try and help. Did I do that? Have we got enough? Did I get to everyone? Does everyone know?
Did you fire up as a coach before the game or did you wait until they'd done things wrong before you fired up?
No, it changed. I certainly did sometimes because, I mean, you start to talk about, doing this and that on a footy ground and it's an emotional state. Football is quite an emotional state. So even as a coach sometimes, you just got into this emotional state. Now, I didn't actually plan it, it just came on. Other times you probably did. And other times you talked a bit softer, but stern. I mean, you had to raise your voice for 22 people to listen. Yeah. You've got to get people's attention. So I won't say, and you know what, 9 out of 10 players wouldn't remember what you said anyhow.
Did you plan your... You know, as a coach, I've never thought about this, but when you go out to talk to the boys, they run out on the MCG for the first time to try and win a grand final. Did you plan your opening as a coach? You've got notes, notes in your head.
Yeah, usually had a theme. Most times.
A theme.
Yeah. Generally some sort of theme, even if it was something we worked on during the week. Something when we played this team before you'd picked up that we probably should improve on.
Yep.
And it might just be on individuals, and as a group, the midfield group or the forward line group. So... generally a theme.
What about Brassy before a game? Fired up?
Yeah, you could go.
He could fire up any time.
Oh, yeah, he could fire up any time.
Is it really yelling and screaming at the players, like get you into a frenzy, whip you into a frenzy? Is that what he tried to do?
Yeah, quite often he'd do that. He would certainly raise the voice. Quite often he'd have a theme too, not all the time, but he'd have a theme sometimes.
I want to come back shortly and get your who you're going to pick, who's going to win the Norm Smith and first goal. But let's go to Troy, one of our regulars. Hello, Troy.
How you going, boys?
Good.
Very interesting, Malcolm.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, first of all, I think on behalf, I'd like to wish Reece Shaw and his family the best for the future. And I think it's best for whoever's involved what's happened today. Because health is more important than wealth, boys. I've got 2 points. My first one is, has anything been said about Jackie Hogan going to Port Adelaide? I did bring it up on SEN this morning. I was just wondering, has there been anything more there?
Jesse Hogan?
I read a report about 3 days ago. He was actually, there were 2 clubs mentioned. I'm just trying to think of the other one, Troy.
Port take Jesse Hogan out.
Yeah, no, they mentioned that. But also there was someone in Melbourne. No, was it Sydney? Sydney it was. Sydney were thinking, well, no, supposedly put on the table with Jesse Hogan too, to go to Sydney.
Well, they could do with it. I'm not sure. Would you take a chance on Jesse Hogan? He's
not now.
He's had a few stuff-ups.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Number one pick, but really hasn't reached anywhere near his talent.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, and point B?
And the other one is, you know, the half-time sprint, boys.
Yep.
That's 100 metres, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Here we go. We'll make it a bit more interesting and we'll work your maths out. I reckon they should give him a footy and make him bounce the ball. My maths says 5 times.
Yeah, that would be interesting. The only trouble is, it sounds as though it's going to be very wet and it might be slippery. It's a night grand final we've got, Troy. We might see some embarrassing moments with blokes, the ball skidding away from them.
Mm.
It's always been part of it and, you know, I'm not sure why.
His first point, Jesse Hogan, interesting. Do you take a chance? Do Adelaide have a crack at him? Do Port Adelaide have a crack? I'm not so sure. What's our poll today, Blighty?
Here we go, David. Yes, our poll, and our poll is for Australian-made. Australian-made logo, be sure it's Aussie. Look for the green and gold Aussie-made logo to be sure it's authentically Australian-made. Please buy Australian-made. Our poll tonight is, because this is my last night, and you've got KG tomorrow night, is who will win the AFL Grand Final? The Tigers, obviously, or the Cats?
Currently, Tigers 60%, Geelong 40%.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind, just before we leave tonight, how that runs with our people out there that are listening.
All right, let's take your, that's for Australian made, but let's get your tips. So you're obviously going for Geelong, being a Geelong man.
Well, I am. I've been on Richmond's bandwagon all year. I thought they'd make the grand final, but now the Cats are there. I've just got a feeling that their midfield, they've grown their midfield this year, David, in a way that I didn't think they would.
Guthrie, Parfitt as well to help out Selwood, Dangerfield, Menegola.
Duncan. Melagola. So they actually bat very deep. You can throw Ablett in there for a bit too. They actually bat really deep. Now, Richmond have their four or five too, and they've been very good players. But you can't see Castagna and those sort of blokes, Lambert, going into the midfield very often.
Yeah, Bolton's one of the new ones. He's helped out.
And okay, the other three. I just reckon they got two, maybe one or... Simpson's the other one. At that high half 40, he comes up. He's played a really good role since he's been in.
And Dowhouse can go there too. Yeah. So the rain doesn't, tipping rain or being greasy conditions, doesn't affect your tipping? I think
Long as they play the game without trying to handball or do fancy kicks 15 metres in the wet.
Move it on.
Just get it moving on. And
Norm Smith?
Well, the 200-game captain, Joel Selwood, I reckon his form since his fingering, David's just coming back. And so I've actually tipped him. Just
big time player,
yeah,
too, isn't he?
Yeah, I've seen him do it before. Yep, so I'm going to go Knowles. I'd love to see Danger or one of your men.
Dustin Martin. Dustin Martin, if he gets a third, that will be a record. And finally, first goal. Were you a bit of a out there left field? Who gets first goal?
Brandon Parfitt, the youngster that's just coming. He's in pretty good form, actually. He's been
40 to 1, I think.
I don't bet on it, as you know. So, just as a little outsider. And I think Geelong, in last year's preliminary final, Geelong got beat by 19 points from Richmond. No Jack Hawkins. No, I always say Jack, don't I? Tom Hawkins. Huge difference.
And no Duncan, I reckon.
No, that's right.
He missed.
So they missed. I'm going to say Geelong by 19 points, David.
You're a great man. We are going to take a break. Mark and Blighton, David Wildey, Sports Day SA. Time now to go to a Bristol-made Sea Coffee break.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. Lumo Energy SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company. That's Lumo SA. And OTR. With the OTR app, every fifth Sea Coffee is free.
Yeah, still to come, Laurie Colliver, also Toddy Gray and Ash Brown, senior writer for the AFL Record. But let's quickly take a call from Brett, wants to know how much Brad Crouch is worth. Hello, Brett.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. I was just ringing up. Rory was talking about Brad Crouch. It's worth pick two again. Not too long ago, he lost a lot of value, he reckons, but now he reckons he's worth pick two or nothing at all. I'm just wondering how you feel about it.
Yeah, Brett, last night we had a poll. That was our poll. Do you think Brad Crouch, pick two, is fair compensation? 67% of the people that answered said that yes was the right answer. And I think it's about right. Brad Crouch was an extra, along with Jack Martin, back in the day. They were two kids, 17-year-olds, that had priority picks.
Effectively a pick one, wasn't he?
Yeah, virtually, he was virtually a pick one. Now, he's won a best and fairest, and he's been part of a grand final team. So, I mean, his CV's pretty good. So if you've got to get a first-round pick for him. Yeah. There is absolutely no doubt. Whether it's two, that would be great, but I reckon a first-round pick is a must for him. Otherwise, the deal
stay
should...
Here.
Yeah, stay here.
Keep him here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, Brett. Let's go to Laurie Colliver. SA, the Redbacks. Well, they probably got outplayed for most of the game, but Travis Head, an amazing innings today, 160-odd not out, basically saved the Redbacks. Loz, how are you?
I'm good, Wildo. G'day, Blighty. And, yeah, showed all the fans on Fox Cricket Channel 501 what it's all about, the bat and save a game. Tremendous performance, 171 not out. Was right there at the bitter end when things were called off with 11 overs to go. Great effort.
I heard some of your dulcet tones. I tuned in on Fox for the cricket. Basically, though, Laurie, you'd have to say Tasmania had the better of it. They declared their Tim Payne 100-odd not out. They couldn't quite get the wickets today, but South Australia disappointing in that first innings.
Oh, look, 195 was never enough, and I think Travis Head knows that, and he'll be addressing that in the coming days before the next clash against Victoria down at the Bay next Friday. And look, there are some signs with the batting. I've got to say, I thought Henry Hunt had a pretty decent game, getting 30 and 46. Jake Weatherall, though, worrisome. Double failures, got dropped in the second innings as well before he was caught at third slip for 10. Callum Ferguson at least got a few runs, but the bowling... Look, it's a struggle. They only got 7 wickets in the game against West Australia and only 8 wickets in this game. And poor Lloyd Pope, who was left out to dry a little bit in the second session yesterday. On day two, where he bowled unchanged. He got hit for a lot of boundaries, a lot of sixes. And there's a lot of things to think about. Hopefully, Daniel Worrell will come back into the side for the next game. But, Chad Sayers was a bit of a lone hand. I know Kane Richardson got a couple of wickets, but poor old Chad, it was left pretty much to him. And where's Agar? You know, player of the year last year, yet to get a wicket in three matches. So there's plenty of concerns, isn't there, for the team.
Now, Jason Gillespie's out of the new coach, obviously, of the team. He's out of now quarantine. So he was at the ground today and mixing up with the guys?
Yeah, he's been there the last 3 days, Blighty. Yep. He got out on the second morning. So, look, I think it's going to be a bit of patience required from the coach. When you've got Joe Meny also away overseas, got some personal things he's trying to sort out. So, look, when you haven't got your best side, as you know, coaching footy, Blighty, it can be a bit tricky. And when there's only 11 players and you haven't quite got the depth that you would like, you really need everyone on deck for those first couple of games. And they'll be pretty pleased the fight shown today. And I must say, young Liam Scott, in the 2 games he's played, batting at number 7, he's shown a bit as well with the bat. Handy with the ball, good in the field, but they just need a few more match winners, and they just haven't got him at the moment.
Yeah, he sort of dug in, didn't he, young Liam Scott? Yeah, I watched him. Tall lad, isn't he, for a batsman?
Oh, look, he's very tall. I think he'll develop into quite a nice bowler too. Very handy in the field, got good hands, fields in the gully a bit, and bowls some useful overs. And I think they've sort of looked at Cam Valenti, who won the Bradman medal, but his numbers in the Shield games he's played haven't been really satisfactory in there. Giving this young lad a go. He's 19 years of age. He came across from New South Wales about 18 months ago to try and, you know, further his career in Shield cricket. And I think they might be onto one here. Let's hope so.
And what about Lloyd Pope? You touched on him. He is a wicket taker, but he goes for a lot of runs, and he's just a kid bowling the hardest art, a bowling leg spin. Where do you see him right at the moment? I know the wicket was a batsman's paradise, but do you just keep persevering there, Loz?
It's a tough one. Look, if Worrell's available for the next game, they may have to look at playing four seamers. I think, you know, he's bowled 44 overs, 2 for 200. And, I think it's a tough one. I'm not sure if I'd pick him down at Glenelg for the next game. I just think they've got to just nurse him along a bit. He was a little bit overbowled on the second day. And I'm just not sure whether they need to pick him for the next game if Worrell's fit. It might be just a straight swap and go with the four quicks.
You follow the game as we do. Cameron Green in WA looked like making his first 200 for a while, and I had a look at the replay. He was LBW for 197. Have you seen that? Jesus, he was disappointed.
I love him, Blighty. I think he's absolutely fantastic. He's just tall. He's got some lovely shots. I reckon he can bowl a bit as well, but as far as I'm concerned, they've got to look very, very closely at getting him into that first test side against potentially India on the 17th of December. Matthew Wade's done a pretty good job for Australia, but I think when you've got a player like this coming through the ranks at 21 years of age, I think they can say, well, look, Matty, you've been pretty serviceable, but let's get this young bloke into the side at number five or number six.
And, Loz, just in closing, Travis Head, as you said, a brilliant innings, looked a class above today to bat like that, and that's a big score, and he obviously concentrated very well.
His concentration was there. He wavered a couple of times. He played, missed it a few from Siddle just before he reached 50. He was out on 99, I believe, caught behind, had a bit of luck and got the decision his way. But in the main, struck the ball very, very well. And I think one thing with Travis Head, Wildo and Blighty, when you see him hit the ball straight back down the ground, that's a sign that he's in good nick. And we saw that late yesterday and quite a lot of times today, and he looked in great order.
Well, you're in good nick too on Fox Sports. Thanks for that. Laurie Culliver there giving us a report. The Redbacks held on for a draw, but Tasmania really, I thought, took the points there. Todd Gray, thanks to GRSA, the 2020 Gawler Gold Cup. That's Sunday, October the 25th. We should hit. Oh, you won't be able to head down there. You'll be... You'll be away in Queensland. Let's welcome Toddy. Hi, Todd.
Hey, boys. How are we?
Yeah, going good.
Oh, that's good. That's good stuff, lads. Hopefully we can bounce back after last week. Two tips, 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Same as last week. If we keep this up, we're going to have a minute by the end of the month.
I didn't see the race of Rajasthan. Was it a chance? Were you disappointed with the run or was it unlucky? What happened there, Toddy?
Well, do you know what? It's hard to. That's what I mean about last week. It's a bit hard to be upset, lads, because Rajasthan actually ran only about a whisker outside his personal best. Like, 35 is your benchmark over 600 metres, and he went 34.90. So, ooh, if you told me he was going to go 34.90 before the start of the race, I would have said to double up on him. So, no, both dogs ran time wise, went brilliant, result wise. Just all right. Like, the silver medal's nice, but we want the gold.
Yeah, we too. Yeah, but yeah, that's okay sometimes. Hey, listen, your best bet.
Yeah, oh, the best bet, lads. Don't muck about because it's only 3 minutes away and it is in the first, lads. Race one, number two, Rushes. We're a big fan of this bloke. He's 2 for 2 for us already. Look, ignore his last start. He nearly fell. He got knocked by every dog twice in one race. So it was. Any other dog would have fell in this race. He's on his way to the boxers right now. I can have a look at him. He's a big cut of a dog. He's strong as they come. Yeah, you still got time to get on. They're halfway down to the boxes now.
Better
so
rush,
at 270,
okay.
I reckon he's a moral.
I'm about to gamble responsibly. David, you can talk to Toddy.
Yeah, the value bet. You've got that one in race three.
Yeah, you don't need to rush for this one, lads. Race three, number seven, Soul Rocker. The bloke who trains this dog is called Kel Douglas. They call him Longshot Kel for a reason. He loves getting a roughie up. Look, it's been specced in the market. It's been 11 into 7 early. Very well boxed out wide. And it's back to jumping. Just lately, he's been missing the kick. But his last few starts, he's been pinging. And he's pretty strong out front. I reckon, still at the $7 or $8, if you shop around, I reckon it's tremendous each way value. We'll definitely figure in the finish.
And a big day Sunday, the 2020 Gawler Gold Cup.
Yeah, tell me about it. Well, here's one for you. 8 runners in the final, lads. And Troy and Ray Murray have 7 of the 8 finalists.
Gee.
Wow.
It's a big effort. They quinellaed 3 of the 4 heats. And the Adelaide Cup winner is in it as well. Look, massive accomplishment. Look, I reckon there's a cheeky one in that. I'll give you a real rough one. Number 7 in the final, Bold Mirage. It's $34, Vic.
Oh.
No way it should be better than about 10-1, in my opinion.
Oh, bloody scrambling for that. Thanks for that, Toddy. So race 1, number 2, that's on in a minute. Rushes. Rush to get on that one. And race 3, number 7, Soul Rocker. Toddy Gray there for GRSA. Thanks, Todd. We're going to take a break. Ash Brown, senior writer for the AFL Record, on the other side.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. Lumo Energy SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA. And OTR. With the OTR app, every fifth C coffee is free.
Malcolm Blight, David Wildy, grand final not far away, cannot wait. All thanks to Tyre Power, your trusted tyre experts. In tough times, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer. They're here to help, tyrepower.com.au. It's time now to go to Ashley Brown, senior writer for the AFL Record. Been there a long while. Just got a query too, came in from Perth actually. Can you ask Ashley where in Perth you can buy, or whether you can buy, the Grand Final Edition? They'd love to get hold of that. Ashley, how are you?
I'm very well, guys. How are you?
Just on that, can the people in Perth, has the AFL Record gone across there?
To the best of my knowledge, it's available at newsagents, Coles, Woolies, Coles Express and Woolies Petrol nationally now from today. So to the best of my knowledge, that's where you can get it.
Beautiful.
Now, Ashley, over the years, this has been a collector's item and there's many that have 30, 40, 50 of these things. No, just the price and just what's on the front cover? I haven't seen it yet. I'd love to know.
So it's $10 cover price and we've gone for Dusty and Trent Cotchin and Joel Selwood and Patrick Dangerfield. Oh, yeah. I guess are almost the big four. The big four looming over this game. So that's our cover image for this year's mag.
Now, you always have plenty of reading. I mean, I find it probably the most readable thing in footy world. What are some of your highlight stories you've got? You must have a favourite one yourself.
Well, there's a few that I'm particularly fond of. I sat down, given it was 40 years since the 1980 Premiership, it's sort of a bucket list item of mine to interview Tony Jewell. Who was the last Richmond Premiership coach before Damien Hardwick. So I went down to Sorrento, down in southern Victoria where he lives, and spent a few hours with him. It was actually late last year when I went and saw him, but it was fantastic to talk about a great life in footy. And he goes back to the early 60s, and he was coached by Len Smith at Richmond, then Tommy Hafey, coach in his own right. You would have probably coached and played.
Yep.
But you were coaching against him at some stage, Malcolm, but yes. He... fabulous footy life, and it was just and the impact he's had on Richmond. What I found interesting was that he keeps his distance from the club now. He says the last when he played for Richmond, he hated when they used to sort of shove the Jack Dyer stories down their throat. He said the players never liked that when they want to create their own history. So his attitude has very much been he stayed away from Richmond now. He lets Damien Hardwick do his own thing and says he hardly knows the guy, even though they're the only two living Richmond Premiership coaches. So I thought that's really interesting and probably an indication of how they're doing things at Richmond these days. They're very much in the present and about forging their own tradition at the footy club.
Ashley, footy in the last 4 or 5 months, when we think back, we thought there'd be no football. So the last, I know things aren't that good in Melbourne, but to get 30,000 in a grand final and basically get the season underway and culminating in Richmond Geelong, it's been a fantastic success given the circumstances.
It's been an unbelievable achievement from the AFL, talking to people there and people involved in the game. Just to sort of be much marshal and move 10 clubs in Victoria to Queensland at really very short notice, and they thought they'd be going up there for maybe 30 days, and when the COVID situation got worse, it was sort of nearly 110 days now for Richmond and Geelong, and also to get the footy done in South Australia, and they opened up there. Certainly Hawthorn moved there for a few weeks, and WA and initially New South Wales. It's been incredible, achievement by everyone in football. A lot of collaboration between the clubs and cooperation, and it's been a sort of a banner year for the game in that respect. That they've sort of put some competitive differences and some IP issues behind them to work for the common good of getting the season run and done.
Ash, the pen picks on the players are always fascinating to read. All their background and all the stuff you're doing and all their stats. I've been intrigued to know that this year, which I think Geelong's team's going to be the same as last week. If it is, they're going to be the oldest grand final team, if they win, of course, ever in the history of the game. So the pen picks, they are a really, really experienced football team.
Yeah, you look through it, there's a bit of young talent there, but there's guys have been there and done that, and guys have stepped up, and it's that middle rank, isn't it? The guys like Guthrie and Menegola, who've sort of gone from good to great this year to sort of, they've had their 4 or 5, superstars for a long time, but I think it's this experience, and that's why so many people think they're a big chance this week. They're just a bunch of experienced players all playing really well, and the occasion, it's a different occasion, obviously, to what we used on grand final day, but the occasion won't get to them because they've done the hard yards for a long time, this group.
Probably four of the greatest players we've seen all playing on Saturday. You mentioned them before, Ablett, Selwood, Martin and Dangerfield. Have you got a favourite? I think the most consistent player I've seen is Gary Ablett Jr. But they're all, if Martin wins another Norm Smith, he's got to be up there with the all-time greats. And Dangerfield, if he wins a flag, he's done everything. And Selwood, we know, is just a consummate professional.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Patrick Dangerfield. When he started with Adelaide, I've just been a massive fan of how he plays. Dustin Martin might be the best finals player the game has ever seen. And he's a huge chance to win a third North Smith medal. There's no greater achievement in really putting in a lot of ways and be best on ground in the grand final. He's done it twice and only three other players have done it. So if he was to do it again this season, he's just the best big game performer that I can remember for a very long time, and I just love watching them play. But Ablett's been a superstar, a joy to watch, and you know, to come back to Geelong and after 3 years maybe get another premiership there. He missed out on one because he went to the Gold Coast, obviously, to help start that club. So they've all been ornaments to the game. That's why it's such an anticipated grand final, because so many good players that, from both teams at the top end. It really is the clash of the heavyweights.
Now, all the stats are there for every team in this grand final record. And I keep it, obviously, for reasons. And, you know, you can look at over summer and find out what happened, you know, for the, throughout the year from the stats point of view. What do the stats say? I mean, all the experts now, you know, you can see it with your eyes. But where do you think the stats say Geelong or Richmond are going to win this game of footy?
Oh, so you're putting me. I'm not the stats person, Malcolm. I prefer to people like you on things like the stats. They're just very evenly matched. The issue I've got, it's not stats, is Richmond won sort of four of the last six against Geelong, and the one time Geelong won, Richmond had a lot of players out. And I can't, the reason I pick Richmond is I go back to that round 17 game when Richmond held Geelong to 1-5 at three-quarter time. Now, Geelong's last 2 weeks, they've played really well these last 2 weeks, but I think Richmond, I don't think anyone plays footy better than Richmond. Richmond's best footy is the best footy in the competition.
Agreed.
And they're a proven big game performer, which is why I think they're the favourites going into Saturday.
And I think if it's wet and they're forecasting showers, that would suit the helter-skelter game of the Tigers, surely.
Yeah, I think so. They're just, isn't that organised chaos? And the thing with Richmond, you know what they're going to bring, you know how they're going to play, but no one's actually got the formula to break it down on a regular basis. And I think the wet weather will suit them a little bit better.
Ash, thanks for the chat.
Yeah, and a great record coming.
Yeah, thanks, Malcolm. Thanks, guys, and thanks for your support through the season.
Ashley Brown there, senior writer for the AFL Record, and for energy from an Australian-owned company, switch to Lumo. SA today, call 131-5866. I genuinely believe the rain will play a part. Now, they've just had this game last week against Port. They're used to the fumbling, and they play pretty well too. I still think Geelong is such a team that love to control the ball. Now, they're going to have to change their game plan if it's wet.
Yeah, no, I think they're possible. I think they can. I've listened to the people at Geelong talk about they've won games in the wet this year, as long as they don't fiddle around with the ball a bit. And sometimes you just got to move on. We know that, David.
Now, polls changed since everyone heard Malcolm Blight. Oh, yeah, Geelong by 19. It was favouring the Tigers. Now it's 47% Richmond, 53% the Cats.
Wow.
You've still got pull. You've still got sway.
No, don't believe it. I mean, it is. It should be a genuine 50-50 game. And you know what? It is a 50-50 game. But you know what's also great? Moe's $3 traditional dog. Features a mouth-watering frank made of local ingredients. Get it at OTR. So I'm always wondering if that's Moe or Moe's. But when you have them,
That'd be Moe's, I reckon.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I call it Moe's.
Or it'd be Moe's.
And I put sauce.
Patsy likes a Moe.
Yeah.
You like the Moe's.
Yeah, that's quite
right. All right, we're going to take a break. Hey, tomorrow night we've got Tom Lonergan too.
Oh, good. Great.
You won't be here, but I'll do that with the KG. Tom Lonergan is a famous cat. We're going to take a break. On the other side, we've got Malcolm Blight's, Throwback Thursday, plus plenty more.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. Lumo Energy SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA. And OTR. Get Moe's traditional dog every day for $3 at OTR.
Welcome back to Sports Day SA. Malcolm Blight and David Wilde for the all-new game-changing Kia Sorento, which has landed. Find out more at kia.com.au. Now, Blighty, you're off to the Gabba or to Brisbane tomorrow, to sunny Queensland for the presenting of the Jock McHale Medal, which is a fantastic achievement for you. But let's quickly just have a re-wrap of what you said. Who are you going to tip? The margin, the Norm Smith, and the first goal?
Okay, well, as I mentioned, I've gone for Geelong by 19 points. Ironically, what they got beat last year in the preliminary final by Richmond.
19.
The Norm Smith Medal, I'm going a bit out there. Joel Selwood, captaining the Cats for the 200th time. I just reckon his form's been on the up since he's got that hand injury. Yeah, and I just think, I mean, Dusty and Danger are fantastic, and hope that'll be great if one of them win it. But I'm just going out there for Joel. He's going to be the one. I've seen him in grand finals before, mate. He's a hard head. He goes at it really good. Now, the first goal you're going to ask me about, have a listen to this one. He's improved, this lad, Brandon Parfitt. First goal, little fella. Whether he starts on the interchange bends or not, I'm not sure. But I'm taking a bit of a punt. Now, I don't bet on the footy, as you know. But I'm taking him as a bit of an outsider, I reckon. A little fella, sneaks a goal. He's got good skills. and he's in pretty good form.
Well, I'm going opposite you, as you'd expect. Yes. We can't go exactly the same. I'm going Richmond by 14 points. I think if it's wet, it will certainly favour them coming off the wet week last week, and Geelong do play keepings off. I'm going for Dustin Martin for his third Norman Smith, which will be a record.
Don't blame you.
And Shea Bolton for the first goal.
There, little fella.
Little thing there. So, hey, just want to play a grab from Dangerfield too. Now, you brought up last night, you don't mind the shorter quarters, the shorter quarters. And Patrick Dangerfield's almost on the same band.
So I think the opportunities throughout all of this that we can improve the game. And I don't think, and Gil said it the other day, 16 minutes is too short. And I agree with that. But I don't think we go back to 20, because I think it gives us the ability to play more games in shorter succession. So I think we can have an improved product with a few adjustments with what this season has actually provided us with.
So from it was 20 with Tom on, they're playing 16 with Tom on. What about 18, somewhere in between?
Yeah, I think that actually some weeks ago, remember Gil McLachlan talked about that 18 might be the number. It's somewhere between 16 and 20. And you know what? I think if you look back at the old footy tapes, you would find that the 30, 31, 32 minutes, 33 minutes that we were playing weren't quite like that, David. We didn't hold the ball up for as long. So everyone said it's not the same time. But the game's actually been different for, seems like every 10 years the game slightly changes anyhow. So the length of the quarters have actually got longer over a period of time.
Before we look at Throwback Thursday, the scarf you mentioned last night on eBay, I believe $500 is the latest bid.
Yeah, and this is for a great...
And you reckon that's cheap?
Yeah, oh, gosh, do I ever. Yeah, this is for a great charity, Rick Neagle's charity, which is Count Me In. So if anyone wants to put a bid, it's on eBay. That is the Adelaide Crows 97-98 scarf. Go to that.
Hand-knitted with every player on there, and you
sign it. So that'll be great for all those things, the accessibility for everyone in the community to access building and public spaces. So hopefully we get a few more dollars on that, David.
Now, you're off tomorrow night. KG's filling in for you. Yeah. What about one last Throwback Thursday?
Well, David, I'm glad you asked me about this. Can you believe?
Jeez, you get the drum roll, you get everything these days.
This is good. Benny, well done. 1878.
I wasn't around then.
No. Can I tell you something? 142 years ago, what are we doing different other than playing this grand final at the Gabba? What's different about this grand final to every other grand final played other than take out the Gabba?
Have they met in the grand final, these two?
Yes, they have three times. This is the third time.
Oh, the original clubs?
No, we're going to turn the lights on, David.
Oh.
It's a night grand final.
Of course.
Right.
What did I think of that?
Yeah, 1878.
I feel really dumb after that.
Yeah, no,
of course it is, the night.
But this is how we think we know everything. Now, listen to this. The first rugby match under floodlights takes place in a place called Salford, which is in Manchester, between Broughton and Swinton were the towns.
What year?
1878.
Gee.
So 142 years later, our product, I know we've had night footy, but our major product.
Never the grand final.
Grand final. Isn't that interesting?
Do you think it'll stay or go back to day?
I think they'll see how this one goes. How's that? 142 years ago,
did not
they played rugby under lights.
Okay.
Now, in 1897, we have certain things here. The world's first car dealer opened in London. So we've been selling cars from dealerships since 1897. We think we know everything now, don't we? And in 1967, I watched the golf for a while today, the Champions Tour. Hey, it was great. Mickelson, Weir, all those great players that we've seen.
Yeah.
Retief Goosen. Anyhow, 1967, the Ryder Cup. Ben Hogan, captain. The great Ben Hogan. Anyone knows
Jack
anything
Nicklaus
about
that?
I just didn't look up the team. USA beat the Great Britain 23-8. 23.5-8.5. And in 1967, I remember this. You would remember this too, being a cricketer and all that's gone on today. Ian Brayshaw, Western Australia versus Victoria in the Sheffield Shield.
Took 10.
10, correct. 10 well done. Well done.
And bowled just medium pace wobblers.
Yeah. In 1989, Alain Prost claimed his third Formula One championship. And guess what? On this day in 1993, a young fella by the name of Lincoln McCarthy was born in Bordertown, a 27-year-old today. He went via
Geelong,
but via Glenelg,
to Geelong,
via Geelong,
to Brisbane,
and played last week in that Brisbane loss. So 27 today, Lincoln McCarthy.
Well, mate, you have a great time up there. You're hoping to present the Jock McHale medal to Chris Scott. I got a feeling it might be Damien Hardwick's third. But have a great time, you and Patsy, and I'll see you Monday, same time between 6 and 7. Bye for now.
Bye, David.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. Lumo Energy SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA. And OTR. Get Moe's traditional dog every day for $3 at OTR.